I'm Blair O'Neill with the Golf Channel, and you're listening to Southern Fairways Radio, hosted by Randy Bergen. Make sure to watch Martin and I, Blair O'Neill, on School of Golf. You can check us out on Golf Pass, and we're going to be helping your game. But now, let's have some fun with Southern Fairways Radio.
Here's Tua stepping back, loads up, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Alabama! And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain. Their fifth national championship in 9 years, their 17th overall.
45, there goes Davis!
Oh my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back! Auburn's going to win the football game! He ran it back 109 yards! Holy cow! Oh my God! Auburn wins! Auburn has won the Iron Bowl!
Good Saturday morning and welcome to another edition of Southern Fairway Sports Radio as we're broadcasting live today from our Srixon studios located in South Alabama. And as always, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, where there are no shenanigans and hassle-free buying at McConnell Automotive. Located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile, or check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Let's set up our show this morning at 10:15. We're going to talk to Ray Phillips, the tournament director for the third annual Gulf Coast Veterans Charity Golf Tournament. You will want to be a part of this, and Ray will tell you all about it. Then at 10:30, from 10:30 through the rest of the hour, we're going to talk about the biggest day in the SEC today with all the matchups that we've got going on, and we're going to preview that right after this. But all of that in just 1 hour show. Sit back, buckle up, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. You can speed dial us at 251-343-0106. If you are traveling, you can keep up with us by going to the FM Talk 106 website. You can go to TuneIn Radio, YouTube, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcast. And those of you in Central and North Alabama, tune in to Radio Alabama, 13 stations under their umbrella. Lee Perryman is awesome and so happy to be a part of their family as well, with he and Michael Brannon and the entire Radio Alabama staff. A ton of things to get into today. Don't blink your eye, because this will be like going through Slap Out Alabama. If you blink, you miss it. If you have a question or a comment, 251-343-0106. So speed dial it. Again, we are not caller-driven, but certainly listener-friendly, and welcome any comment or question that you might have at 251-343-0106. Now, with Randy out, we get to kind of do some things that we want to do and we've wanted to do with this hour for quite some time with Randy, but we'll do it without him today. I want to give you the lineup for today. You're talking about 16 teams in the SEC, each team playing another SEC team, and some awesome matchups today. Beginning at 11 o'clock, LSU travels to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is like a 2.5-point favorite. When was the last time you remember Vanderbilt being a 2.5-point favorite over the LSU Bengal Tigers? That's going to be a heck of a football game. Diego Pavia, Garrett Nussmeier, even with Nussmeier being a little bit injured, don't know how severely injured he is. We'll talk a little bit about that as we move forward. And then at 11:45, Oklahoma travels to Williams-Brice Stadium in South Carolina to take on a really good football team. Even though they've had their knocks, you get two really good quarterbacks in Lenora Sellers and John Mateer. That should be a pressure-packed football game, both teams needing a win, and that should be an exciting game as well. And then at 2:30 today, Texas A&M travels to Arkansas, who are now led by Bobby Petrino. And I'm not happy. Sam Pittman, one of our favorite coaches here, no longer at Arkansas, but Bobby Petrino, former head coach at Arkansas, I guess they put enough pressure on the AD to bring back Bobby since he was already on the staff. And don't be surprised if Arkansas wins this game. Bobby Petrino is I'm talking about a brilliant mind as a offensive coordinator, and they will I really believe they will give Texas A&M all they want today. By the way, Bobby Petrino's brother, Paul, offensive coordinator at South Alabama. Then again at 2:30, here's the game that I'm probably looking forward to as much as any out-of-state contest. Ole Miss travels to Athens to take on Georgia. Gunnar Stockton has really had an outstanding season, and the young Division II player of the year who led his team to a national championship, Trinidad Chambliss, has taken over for Austin Simmons, but Austin Simmons is ready to play now, so they have two quarterbacks, and I really and truly believe that Ole Miss has a great opportunity to go into Athens and defeat Georgia. The only thing I can tell you is this. If you're an Ole Miss Rebel fan, well, hotty-totty to you, first of all. But second of all, you better be able to run the football today in order to beat Georgia. That, to me, is going to be the key if Ole Miss can run the football. Then at, I think, 3 o'clock, Mississippi State travels to Gainesville to play Florida. DJ Lagway has been injured. I don't know. I just really don't know how much. I can't tell you what percentage that he is healthy. I know Blake Shapen at Mississippi State is he's really had a good year, and I look forward to that game as well. Then tonight we have Texas at Kentucky. A lot of talk about Mark Stoops. This may be his final year. Don't think that Texas has played as well as we thought they would play, and really don't think that the young Manning quarterback has played as well as many expected him to. But this is his first year as a starter in the toughest job that a player can have, playing quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. So that should be a good game as well. Then the third Saturday in October, and you know what that means. That means Ken Donahue probably somewhere is smoking a cigar in heaven, if that's possible. Ken Donahue's got a big old cigar in heaven, and this is the week that Alabama and Tennessee battle. This year it's going to be at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and number 11 Tennessee comes in against number 6 Alabama. Kalen DeBoer looking to continue to lead this Alabama team into the promised land. Two really good quarterbacks. Ty Simpson's had an outstanding year. And if we were picking Heisman Trophy winners at this point in the season, Ty Simpson, to me, would be right at the top of the list there. And then Joey Aguilar, who comes in from Appalachian State, quarterbacking Tennessee. I know our buddy here at FM Talk 106, Dalton Orwig, is a huge Tennessee fan. This is a big week for the Tennessee Vols and their fans. Should be another outstanding game. And then a game that, of course, we're interested in. 6:45 tonight, Eli brings in his number 16 Missouri into Auburn to play Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers. And we're hoping Jackson Arnold is healthy and can continue to improve and get better. Bo Pribula, who had a great game against Alabama last week, but that interception late in the game showed his youth. So that should be another outstanding game there at Jordan-Hare Stadium, right there on the campus of Auburn University. Someone asked me the other day, Coach, who do you feel like is the best team in the Southeastern Conference? I think there's some really – I mean, we've got 6 or 8 teams that I think you could argue are the best. When you look at Texas A&M, I mean, they're 6-0. They're 3-0 in the conference. Don't think this is not a trap game when they travel to Arkansas to play this game. Oklahoma has been very good. Brent Venable is fighting for his life. They're – You know, they've called them game managers. Jim Nagy has done a wonderful job there, the former director of the Senior Bowl here in Mobile. What a job he's done there. It's going to be a heck of a game going into Williams-Brice Stadium and trying to defeat a good South Carolina team who is really not – met expectations, being 3-3 on the year and 1-3 in the conference. A lot of people are thinking that this could be the year that Vanderbilt could win some big games. And hosting LSU, they are a 2.5-point favorite. Diego Pavia is, if he plays his A game, they certainly have a chance to win that game. And Garrett Nussmeier for LSU is one of the premier quarterbacks in the country. He's just battled injuries all year long. So that should be a game, an interesting game to kick it off today at 11 p.m. It'll be on ABC, coming from First Bank Stadium right there in Nashville, Tennessee. A lot of construction going on there, so if you're traveling in the Nashville area headed to the game, know that there's a lot of construction in that, I think it's the north end zone of the stadium there at First Bank Stadium in Nashville. So that's kind of who we've got today. We'll talk a little bit more about the games as we go on. But if you have a comment, if you want to ask about a game, you can give us a call at 251-343-0106. When we return, we're going to talk to Ray Phillips, the tournament director for the third annual Gulf Coast Veterans Charity Golf Tournament.
Hello, Brett Baer with Fox News Channel for your up-to-date golf and sports information news. Please continue to listen to FM 106.5 and Southern Fairways Radio Show with your host, Randy Bergen, and sweet swinging Bobby Hall. Have a blessed day. Keep a fair, balanced, and unafraid. And by the way, Roll Tide and War Eagle.
All right, welcome back to the Southern Fairways Radio Show, and well, we are super excited to chat with Ray Phillips, the tournament director for the third annual Gulf Coast Veterans Charity Golf Tournament. And you certainly want to be a part of this, and we're going to get Ray to tell us all about it. Ray, welcome to Southern Fairways, and Rick Cleveland here. Randy Bergen is hitting that little white ball down in Destin and asked us to come in and chat with you and talk a little bit about what we got going on here. On Friday, November the 7th, out at one of our favorite courses, Glen Lakes Golf Club. And welcome to Southern Fairways, Ray Phillips. And let's talk a little bit
about
this. Well,
Coach, it's good to hear from you. And I appreciate you guys letting me get on and share a little story about Fairways for Vets and what we're trying to accomplish this year.
Well, that's certainly something that we always want to be involved with, Ray, because, you know, when you talk about vets and when you're the son of a United States Marine, those are some people that are near and dear to our hearts, and we certainly appreciate everything you do about it. Kind of talk about the genesis of this, Ray, and how all of this got started, because you guys have certainly implemented something I think is wonderful.
Well, our founder actually is a retired Marine from 33 years of service, and he's a golf instructor, and he's been given lessons for charitable purposes, so all of the proceeds that he gets from golf lessons, he donates to some military charitable cause. And so 3 years ago, we decided we'll just start a nonprofit foundation and not only provide the golf lessons, but try to develop a tournament each year. And so far, we've done that. This is our third annual golf tournament. The first 2 years, we held at Gulf Shores Golf Club, and we supported the initiatives from the Wounded Warrior Project. This year, we're really excited about the opportunity to provide a partnership with the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, because Alabama is getting a homeless veterans facility being built by the Tunnel to Towers, and we're going to support the initiatives for that with our proceeds from our golf tournament this year. So that's really exciting. They're going to provide they're under contract. They break ground next week for a facility in Jefferson County up near Birmingham, and it's going to provide permanent housing and supportive services for 110 vets. And so we're really excited about partnering with them. So we got a tournament. We hope everybody can join the tournament. We've got, I think you've got some information about how to contact reach us at the tournament. I can go over that if you like.
Yeah, we sure do. fairhopeforvets@gmail.com, and we're going to continue to say that throughout the show.
It's Fairways.
Fairways, I'm sorry.
And, and by the way, that's F-O-R-E for some reason for golf.
Yeah.
fairwaysforvets@gmail.com. That's our email address. We've got a four-man scramble at Glen Lakes Golf Course. As you well know, our PGA professional and general manager, David Musial, is a great supporter of our program there this year and the staff and the facilities there. We're really excited. We're looking for 36 teams. We're going to have a four-man scramble, par is your friend. We've got hole-in-one prizes, longest drive for men's and ladies, closest to the pins, and we're looking for sponsors and players.
And I know that's one of Randy's I mean, he absolutely loves what you guys are doing, and he shared that with us on more than one occasion. And so what we want to do is we want to do everything we can for the next couple of weeks to try to get you some sponsors, and we're going to put that on our website as well, and Randy's website with he and Joey Johnson. We'll make sure they get that on there. And, you know, we have a code here that we can – I don't know if we can transfer that code to our website. We'll certainly try.
Well, the website for all of our listeners out there, if you can go to birdies.com, and that's spelled birdease.com/32882. That's the website. It shows all of the sponsorships. You can sign up right there and make a donation if you want to make a donation.
All right, teams. If we wanted to get a team in, what is the cost per team? It's just 9 a.m. shotgun start. You're going to have lunch to follow the tournament. Talk a little bit about the cost for a team.
A team is $400. It's $100 per player. If you want your everything is done online. All the sign-ups are paid for ahead of time, so we don't have that big rush in the morning before the golf tournament so guys can get out there and warm up and putt a little bit instead of standing in line to sign in. So it's $400 per player, $400 per team. And then we've got sponsorships, whole sponsors for $75. We've got other sponsorships as well. We're getting a lot of support from local vendors. We're looking also for raffle prizes, door prizes, things like that. So if you can help with a gift card from your facility, we'd sure appreciate that as well.
Well, we're certainly going to do what we can to support you. We're going to sign up to sponsor a hole. I know that. And I know our PSR show is going to do that. And I'm sure Randy will do that as well. We certainly want to do everything we can to help you again on Friday, November the 7th. Hosted by Fairways for Vets at Glen Lakes Golf Club to benefit Tunnel to Towers. And this is huge to me, Ray, building a facility in Jefferson County in Birmingham for 110 homeless vets. That is a huge, huge, huge to me. I don't know how you can do anymore to help the vets in a way.
I just talked to them yesterday. I just talked to Tunnel Towers yesterday. I'm looking for an artist rendition of the facility. So hopefully they'll have that for me before the tournament so we can have that there for people to see, and I'll have it posted to our website at birdies.com/32882 as well. So we're really excited about the partnership there.
Ray, thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to do everything we can between our two shows to get this out there and to get you some sponsors, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate what you do, because it's a...
Coach, I appreciate your time, and my best to Joey and Randy and the team there at Southern Fairways. Thanks so much.
You take care, Ray. That's Ray Phillips, the tournament director for the 3rd Annual Gulf Coast Veterans Charity Golf Tournament, and... we certainly want to be a part of that. Steve, did you get that website? And if you'll give us that website, Steve, because that's hugely important.
Birdies.com, birdies.com/3882.
That's wonderful. I hope you'll consider to helping that cause, because I'm going to tell you, Ray and his team do an outstanding job. And what better way? What better way to help our veterans, especially many of them that are homeless, than to donate to tunnels, to towers for homeless veterans? And, boy, that kind of hits me right in the heart right there, because that is something that we all ought to be supporting. These veterans are the reason we have the freedom that we have in today's world, and certainly appreciate everything. The Gulf Coast Veterans 3rd Annual Charity Golf Tournament, Friday, November the 7th. And if you want to play in that team event, it's $400 for a team, $100 per golfer. I'm sure there's a lot of organizations that would sponsor your team. Just go out and ask, tell them what it's for, and I imagine there's many businesses that would probably want to help you sponsor that team in that golf tournament. Should be something really, really outstanding. And we appreciate Ray Phillips joining us here because we certainly want to be a part of this, and appreciate Ray telling us all about it. When we come back, we probably got a minute left in this segment, but we're going to continue to break down some of these games that are going on here. You know, I don't know of any other week in the SEC football season where we have all 16 teams playing each other. And we talked about this earlier. The Tennessee-Alabama game is going to come on, I want to say, at 6:30 tonight. That'll be Sean McDonough and Greg McElroy and Molly McGrath. it strikes me sometimes when McElroy gets to do the Alabama games, you know he's got to be a little bit prejudiced, having played quarterback for Coach Saban there. He and Sean McDonough are a very good team. Molly McGrath on the sidelines is wonderful as well. That should be a heck of a football game. And, you know, the thing I think that's going to be a challenge for Alabama, and I'll say this right off the bat, is Tennessee and Josh Heupel, what they do better than most anybody in the country is they just have, 12 to 16 plays, but they run them out of about 20 different formations. And, it's not unusual to see them run the same play 3-4 times in a row out of 4 different formations. They are an offensive bag of tricks, to be honest with you. And that should be an interesting game tonight. I don't predict winners. I don't know enough about the personnels of the two teams to, like Mitch McConnell does. Mitch, we get Mitch on here, and he can tell you all the ins and outs of University of Alabama football. But we're going to take a break. When we return to the Southern Fairways, we're going to talk a little bit more about these games in the Southeastern Conference.
Hello, this is Brett Baer with Fox News Channel. For your up-to-date golf and sports information news, please continue to listen to FM 106.5 and Southern Fairways Radio Show with your hosts, Randy Bergen and sweet-swinging Bobby Hall. Have a blessed day. Keep it fair, balanced, and unafraid. And by the way, Roll Tide and War Eagle.
Hi, welcome back to the Southern Fairways Radio Show. And somebody recognizes and sends a text in right off the bat. Coach, can you tell us about Alabama's assistant coaches? Well, I just so happened to be able to do that. Coach Kalen DeBoer came in from Washington after playing for a national championship and was the one who was chosen to take Nick Saban's place there at Alabama. And this year he has a new offensive coordinator. You know, last year Nick Sheridan, who coaches quarterbacks, was the offensive coordinator, and Ryan Grubb was with Seattle in the NFL. But Coach Grubb was let go by the Seahawks, and it didn't take Coach DeBoer long to bring Ryan Grubb back into the fold, and Ryan Grubb is the offensive coordinator there. He is boy, he's a heck of a football coach and an outstanding offensive coordinator. And he has certainly made a difference in Ty Simpson, and that offense, it seems to be clicking on all cylinders. Nick Sheridan remained on the staff as the co-offensive coordinator, coaching quarterbacks. Kane Womack, who many of us are familiar with, former head coach at the University of South Alabama. He's now the defensive coordinator at Alabama and coaches the inside linebackers. Now, that relationship between Kane Womack and Coach DeBoer was – it really originated when Coach Womack was the defensive coordinator and coach linebackers at Indiana. And he and Coach DeBoer were assistants on that staff, and Coach DeBoer was an offensive coordinator and Kane was the defensive coordinator. So that goes back a long, long way. Jamarcus Shepherd is assistant head coach, co-offensive coordinator. Jamarcus coaches wide receivers there and has done a wonderful, wonderful job. He played football at DePaul University, and, of course, he coached with Coach DeBoer there at Washington. Another co-defensive coordinator is Maurice Lindquist. Maurice played at Baylor. He was a four-year letterman at Baylor, and he also coached at Buffalo. He was a head coach at Buffalo. Then he was brought to Alabama by Coach DeBoer to be the co-defensive coordinator. Robert Gillespie coaches the running backs. Robert Gillespie is probably a familiar name to a lot of the people around the Southeast. He played at Florida, one of the great receivers there for Florida, and also probably best known is probably one of the premier receivers coming out of the backfield playing running back there for the Gators. He was a team captain there in 2001. Another name that's very familiar to Alabama fans is former Alabama player Freddie Roach. He's the associate head coach and coaches the defensive line. 2008, I think he was the assistant strength conditioning coach at Alabama. Then in 2011, he went over to East Mississippi Community College to work there. And he's coached at various places, coached at South Alabama with Kane Womack. And certainly Kane took him with him to Tuscaloosa to coach his defensive line. Christian Robinson coaches the outside linebackers, played at Georgia, outstanding football coach, was a linebacker there for Coach Mark Rick and did a wonderful job there as an outside linebacker. Jason Jones is another defensive back coach. He's a Tuscaloosa, Alabama native. He played at Alabama, I think from 97 to 2000. Great addition to that staff there. Chuck Morrell coaches linebackers. He played at Sioux Falls, an NAIA school. He was a co-defensive coordinator at Washington when Coach DeBoer was there. Comes to Alabama with Coach DeBoer coaching linebackers. Chris Kapalovic coaches the offensive line. Chris has played at Scottsdale Community College, does a wonderful job, always has been well known as an offensive line coach. He was a run game coordinator at Colorado, assistant head coach and run game coordinator at Michigan State. He is the offensive line coach for the University of Alabama. Brian Ellis coaches the tight ends. He's from Byron, Georgia. He played at UAB. He was a quarterback there, and he's now coaching tight ends for the University of Alabama. And the final special teams coordinator is Jay Nunez. Jay has been coaching for 14 years. He played at Pittsburgh State, and he is certainly a man that is well-respected in special team circles. He worked at Oklahoma for a year or two as an analyst for the Oklahoma football teams, and he is the special teams coordinator for the University of Alabama. Those are your assistant coaches. Thank you for asking that question. I know a lot of times assistant coaches don't get a whole lot of recognition. at the college level, but I'll tell you right now, they're paid very well at the University of Alabama, and they're in a great situation working with Kalen DeBoer. And honestly, when you look at the job that they've done, they have, to me personally, they have exceeded expectations under Coach DeBoer, and I really and truly feel like that this game tonight with Tennessee is going to be a what we call a slobber knocker, because you got two outstanding football teams. And the third Saturday in October, it's going to be something at Nick Saban Field in Bryant-Denny Stadium. You look at Josh Heupel, the job he's done. Joey Aguilar, who really transferred from UCLA. He played at App State, did a great job at App State, and he has had a tremendous season. You know, you break this game down, and Tennessee comes into the game with, you know, they lost one of the best running backs in the country. Graham was, I think, the SEC Player of the Year last year. And if they can run the football the way they want to run it, and that's the thing that Tennessee wants to do, is they want to run the football primarily and be able to throw the football when you think they're going to run it. Just an outstanding football team, and a team that I think is going to give Alabama all they want tonight in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Somebody was asking me the other day, what is the problem with Ryan Williams? Well, I think the sophomore jinx has hit him. And I think that's true. He had a great freshman season, and he had a few injuries, but he's had trouble catching the football. And listen, he's an outstanding player. He showed that last year. When he catches the football, he is dangerous. But Alabama has got some other outstanding receivers. Jeremy Bernard, coming out of Las Vegas, is, to me, one of those receivers that he's tough to defend, and he came to Alabama from Washington with Coach DeBoer, and excited is what, when you talk about Alabama receivers, Jeremy Bernard is definitely in that class. Isaiah Horton has been fabulous, transferred to the university in the transfer portal from the University of Miami. He is a tremendous, tremendous receiver. Josh Cuevas, playing tight end, is another one who's had a really good season. And Ty Simpson, I think, has probably been the premier quarterback in this conference this season. And I said this earlier, if we were picking a Heisman Trophy winner today, at this point in the season, Ty Simpson would obviously be in the top three, if not the very top. How many of you are surprised to see a person 6'7", 360 pounds out there at wide receiver and throwing a pass to him and him catching it and almost scoring a touchdown? Well, that's Caden Proctor. Caden Proctor is a huge man. He's number 74 for the Tide, 6'7", 360 pounds. They even put him back there at running back. And boy, what a season he has had. And he's going to make a lot of money someday. He's going to make a lot of money as an offensive lineman, not as a receiver or running back, I can promise you that. But he certainly fits a role for Coach DeBoer and his team this year. If we're having problems, you know, I think over at right tackle we've struggled a little bit. And Wilkin Formby has struggled a little bit out of Tuscaloosa. Those quick defensive ends, outside linebackers, tend to get a step on him, and he's had his problems over there. Hopefully tonight against Tennessee he won't have those same problems. And we want to break down some other games. I'm excited about LSU and Vanderbilt. When was the last time that Vanderbilt was favored over LSU? Well, they're going to play tonight in First Bank, or today at First Bank Stadium right there in Nashville, and Vanderbilt's a 2.5-point favorite. Now, you folks that wager on games and stuff like that, I don't know how you would wager on this game. I know Pavia has had a good season. I don't think he's had the season that he had last year. He may be a little injured, But LSU with Nussmeier, him being injured as well, they've just struggled. I mean, they have really, really struggled. Baker, the defensive coordinator at LSU, I think is one of the premier defensive coordinators in the league. But at the same time, you know, offensively, they seem to struggle. The two teams that I think have struggled the most offensively in the conference that we expected a lot of is LSU and Florida. You know, we thought that Lagway was going to be, you know, he was the reason that Florida was so successful late in the year last year. And they pinned a lot of hope on Lagway. And I think, this is another thing, I think that the Florida people they've about had it. And I'm afraid that this is going to be the end for what I think is a heck of a football coach at the University of Florida. But, you know, those two offenses, LSU and Florida, certainly have not done as well as we thought they would do. And we look forward to how they play today. I'm pulling for both of them because I'm, you know, when you're a coach, you don't ever want to see a coach get fired. And, you know, this situation at Florida seems to me just to be the same old, and they've probably had enough of it. And I certainly don't think Lane Kiffin would leave and go to Florida. He's too happy at Ole Miss. There's a lot of people talking that Lane would be interested. I think he's too happy at Ole Miss, and I think his family is there, and that's where he'll stay. You're listening to the Southern Fairways Radio Show. When we return, we'll talk a little bit more about Southeastern Conference matchups today. Welcome back to the Southern Fairways Radio Show. I want to thank all of our sponsors here. McConnell Automotive, Strixon Golf, Glen Lakes Golf Club in Foley, Alabama, Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai, Kraut Farms Golf Course in Gulf Shores, the only Arnold Palmer signature design courses in Alabama. And don't forget about Peninsula Golf Course, all fantastic places to play. Lisa Johnson, Realtor, Cito. All Weather Roofing, the number one roofing company in Mobile and Baldwin County. Happy to have them as a new partner. Fairhope Golf Works, JTP Ryan and Master Club Fitter Avery Reed. You want to play better? Set up an appointment today. Quail Creek Golf Club, Boom's Thai Kitchen. In the food court at Piggly Wiggly in Fairhope, you don't want to miss Boom's. Boy, I'm telling you, folks in Mobile are getting a treat, too. They're starting to deliver in Mobile, and they're going to be in local grocery stores here in Mobile soon. Keith Mitchell with Global Life Insurance and the PSR Radio Network. And, boy, we certainly appreciate all of our sponsors and everything that they do to keep Southern Fairways Radio Show on the air. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Alabama and Tennessee. And when we talk about Missouri and Auburn, Eli Drinkwitz brings in a tremendous football team to Jordan-Hare Stadium today and at Pat Dye Field at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Tom Hart, Jordan Rogers, Cole Kubelik returns. Cole, a former center there at Auburn, he'll be the sideline guy today, and nobody is – I think he's the best analyst in the SEC. I really do. Cole knows it inside out, and really enjoy listening to him. When you look at this football team at Auburn, lost 20-10 to Georgia last week, and when you look at it, you know, Auburn just didn't play well in the second half. And one of the things that and talking to a lot of different people about that this week, you know, the thing that – I think that Hugh Freeze should have went in at halftime and said, you know, guys, we played really well in the first half. I mean, played really well. Took it to Georgia, had a 10-0 lead, had an unfortunate call. I don't know if the call was right or not. I mean, if the ball crosses the goal line, it should have been a touchdown. I personally thought, as an Auburn fan, I thought that the linebackers from Georgia did a great job of knocking that ball loose before it crossed the goal line. Now, I've got buddies that tell me, Coach, that ball crossed the goal line, and then they knocked it. Well, you know, the officials came back, and after Birmingham looked at it, they said no, ball did not cross the line with the quarterback in possession. My thought on that is, why are we running that play? Why are we running our quarterback when, you know, they got six men right there in the middle of the field, and those two linebackers right there bunched up, and all they're doing is punching the ball. You know that's what they're going to do, but that was Coach's call, and that's the call he made, and I trust his call. But had a chance to go up 17-0. And I truly believe had Auburn scored and gone ahead 17-0, even though Georgia scored 20 points to win the game, I truly believe it might have been too much for Georgia to overcome, especially the way the defense was playing for the Auburn Tigers. And, today, Auburn, Drinkwitz brings in, I think, one of the premier teams in the Southeastern Conference, and they are hungry to win a big game. They really are hungry to win a big game away from home. And this could be a game that really seals the fate of a coach. I really and truly believe that there's a lots and lots of disenchanted Auburn fans in powerful seats in Auburn that, regardless, the athletic director comes out and makes a bona fide statement that there are no thoughts of dismissing Coach Freeze, but this is his team. It's his team to build. And to be totally transparent about it, it's time for us to be better on the football field. It is. It's time to be better. And I think today would be a great win for Auburn, a great win for Coach Freeze. And I'm certainly pulling as hard as I can pull for him, but we've got to be better. Our quarterback play has got to be better. It's got to be better. And if it's not better, we're not going to be successful. We're just not. And Jackson Arnold has got to play better. And he's got to hit open receivers when they're open. And I don't know that we can play a whole lot better defensively. But offensively, we are really, really kind of in a tizzy, just like Florida is. Just exactly like Florida is. Offensively, we are not doing what we need to do to win football games. And I hope that today that Auburn will be able to do that. And it's a game I feel like we've got to win. I really believe that. And when you look at the game, Missouri's got a bunch of talented playmakers on both sides of the ball. And Drinkwitz does not mind taking a risk against anyone they line up against. And when you look at what we've expected from Jackson Arnold, I don't think we've got what we expected from Jackson Arnold. And people, we don't have college football the way we remember it. This is a bona fide professional league now. I mean, these players are making $1 million, many of them. Some of them making more than that. And it's not what we grew up loving. So Auburn's got to seize every opportunity that we can today to beat this Missouri football team. Ahmad Hardy, the running back for Missouri, leads the SEC in yards and in rushing touchdowns with 9. I can tell you this, Missouri's got a much better offensive line than they've had in the past. And while both of these defenses stop the run well and possess quarterbacks who love to run, special teams, I think, will play the ultimate role in this game. Rayshon Pleasant has already taken one the distance this season. And in a matchup that plays like a high-scoring game based on multiple field goals mixed in with touchdowns, Pleasant's 31.7 yards per return is, I think, third or fourth best in the FBS. and that becomes the difference. His ability to give the offense a prime position to start a drive makes life easier for Jackson Arnold. And with the two teams trading the lead a couple of times, and I think that's what will happen. I think it'll be back and forth. I think the feat of Auburn's specialty people will lead Auburn to a victory. You know, I think that Jackson Arnold will be able to run the ball a little bit more than he's run lately. And he's definitely a threat to run the ball. And then on special teams, Pleasant's feet will break a significant return. And Alex McPherson, who is deadly from 35, 38, 40 yards, even after being as ill and sick as he was last season, hopefully that will send all the Auburn fans home with a victory. My prediction is Auburn 30, Missouri 27, and I'm certainly hoping for that. I'm hoping for something similar in the Alabama game, maybe 28 to 24, Alabama. I'm super proud of the job that Kalen DeBoer has done, and I don't know that anybody could have done any better following in the footsteps of one of the greatest coaches in collegiate football history in Nick Saban. And so sure hoping that Alabama can take this third Saturday in October and win this football game against the Tennessee Vols. Lots of tradition there. Lots and lots of tradition there. Going all the way back to Condridge Holloway. Going all the way back to the days of when Peyton Manning was at Tennessee and Alabama. Just that third Saturday in October, there's great memories on old Rocky Top and in Bryant-Denny Stadium as well. And I certainly hope that tonight is a great night on Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and I hope that the same thing happens at Jordan-Hare. Both teams get a win, and everybody's happy as we approach the coming week. Hey, thank you for being in tune this week. Thank you for joining us on the Southern Fairways Radio Show. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.